Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Idolatry is often very close to true worship. Nadab and Abihu were Levites, the sons of Aaron, the great high priest. They decided to make an offering to the Lord of their own making, which he commanded them not, and they were destroyed with the censers in their hands. This one who has come down and walked among us in flesh and blood is the same one whom the seraphim cease not to worship day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." He is that one who is worthy to open the sealed book. He has come down and dwelt among us, but he has not at any time ceased to be God, nor has he in any sense become less than God, nor should any creature ever approach him without this due consideration. It is impossible to have a right observation of his true person, apart from the clear knowledge of his deity and his rightful place of glory, which utterly transcends creation. It is this contemplation that drives the born-again sons of God to fall upon their faces in the dust and ashes of repentance whenever they would approach him. Our boldness to approach him is because of our confidence in his authority and station as our great high priest, and not because of some assumed familiarity with him in his humanity. We are quite convinced that he was tempted in all points as we are, being without sin. Yet rather than this observation causing us to embrace him as a comrade, we are struck with awe and made to revere him who endured this shame for sinners such as we are. The spotless Lamb of God, being subjected to bear the sin and guilt of his people, does evermore cause them to bow at his feet in adoring wonder. Having said all of that and putting his humanity in its proper perspective, let us state in no uncertain terms that we are rendered speechless and struck with awe and amazement in the contemplation of his walking in the earth as a living human being, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, how can it be that he who created death and administers it according to his sovereign purpose should ever subject his own self to it? The wonder of it is beyond the scope of man's understanding. The one who is the King of Kings became a servant. He who is the very definition of righteousness hung upon a cross of shame, which is reserved for the unrighteous. He who knows all things learned obedience. He who has all power became weak for us. Above all other activities which he was involved with, as he walked among us as the Son of Man, he was a man of constant prayer. He personified the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, who said, "Pray without ceasing." And his own words, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." He fainted not in the day of his trial, because he prayed and the Father heard him, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Such wonder cannot be told by men, yet he has demonstrated it. If he, being the only begotten Son of God, had need to pray, how much more do we who are of Adam's race stand in such need? God's people must pray because he has made them his sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Just as surely as an infant of days will cry out for his earthly mother or father, so must the newborn sons of God call upon him. He has made them acquainted with who he is. They know themselves to be without strength. "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." The true sons of God must cry out to him continually, knowing that they have no strength of their own, and shall fall immediately if left to their own devices. The sons of God must pray because they hunger and thirst for his presence. Their desire is that of the Apostle Paul, who said, "That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Religious men are content with some knowledge about the facts of their religion, but the true sons of God are starving for his fellowship and long to be like him. The sons of God must pray because they are beset on every side by those who are their enemies. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It has become accepted for churches, so called, to adopt the ways and practices of the world in their quest to attract more and more members. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
For a free CD containing 15 of these radio broadcasts, send an email to forthepoor@windstream.net.